The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Tuesday, August 11th, 2009, and Presidential Release number 375. We've had a milestone in Minnesota. The milestone might be described as a mortgage burning. There was a loan to buy the old center that we're operating there in Minnesota, and the last payment has now been made. So Blind Inc., Blindness Learning in New Dimensions, Incorporated, is the proud owner of the center in Minnesota. I was going to go to the mortgage burning, but I couldn't because the president of the United States was having a ceremony in the East Room of the White House. I was invited to that. He authorized the representative of the United States to the United Nations to sign the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and he made a speech about the importance of recognizing the talents of disabled Americans at the process. And this convention, the international convention adopted by the United Nations something over a year ago, is a bill of rights on the international level for disabled human beings throughout the world. The United States, I think, is the 145th country to sign this convention. I went to New York and was at our mission to the United Nations in New York when the celebration for the signing of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities was signed. So I've been both to the White House in Washington, D.C., and our mission to the United Nations in New York to honor the people who signed this convention. Fred Schroeder did some of the writing of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So some of the language there is language that he encouraged to be adopted by the United Nations. This convention will now need to be approved by the Senate. First, the president signs it or authorizes our representative to sign it. It has to be signed at the United Nations, I understand. And then the Senate has to look at an international convention to see if it offers its approval. We will be working with members of the Senate on that in the time to come. Otherwise, I would have been in Minneapolis, but I had to be in Washington, D.C. I regret to say that I wasn't close enough to shake the hands of the president, although I was in the same room with him and also with the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. And it was a good ceremony, and I met a number of very fine people who were part of it. There were about 300 of us. At the convention, we had our third annual March for Independence, a walk for opportunity, and we had a huge number of people participating and a lot of dignitaries who were part of that celebration. Kevin Worley has managed this part of it, and he is now, as I've said, working on the coin for the 2009 Bicentennial Louis Braille Celebration. Here for a brief announcement about the Imagination Fund and the Louis Braille coin is Kevin Worley.
Thank you, Dr. Maurer, fellow Federationists. We have now completed our 2009 Imagination Fund campaign. Thanks to each and every one of you who have informed family and friends you meet along the way about the futures we are building for the blind through our work in the National Federation of the Blind. And thank you for seeking their support and asking for their contributions to the movement. Thank you to all of you who have made personal contributions. I mean it. We know it's a sacrifice. It's one that we all make. And it is one that is deeply appreciated. Next month, if Dr. Maurer has time on the presidential release, we will quickly review final totals, top 10 personal, state, and team imaginators. We really want to recognize and celebrate these achievements. Congratulations, too, to Joe Ruffalo for earning the coveted Imaginator of the Year award. I hope that somebody is planning to earn the award in 2010. And while all the totals have not yet been tallied for the 09 campaign, at the time of the recording of this release, it looks like John Perret will in fact be the number one Imagination fundraiser for 2009. Congratulations again, John. Now it's time for all of us to reach out to those supporters who helped you raise those funds and thank them. Please tell them about the inspiring March for Independence, the dynamic 2009 convention of the National Federation of the Blind, the wise way that their money, their contributions are being spent on Braille literacy programs, our Youth Slam, and your local affiliate programs and future plans. Tell them about our Louis Braille commemorative silver dollar at usmint.gov and 1-800-USA-MINT. And we want to have your comments on the March for Independence 2009. Let me also say thanks to all of our March logistic leadership teams. Your work as NFB ambassadors in the hotel, on the streets, or at the staging area does not go unnoticed or unappreciated. So now, what ideas do we have to share with one another for the next campaign? What kind of march, rally, or big event do we think we should have in Dallas? Put your imagination to work. Planning 2010 campaign. Call me at 866-543-6808 or email imagine@nfb.org. Thank you, Dr. Maurer. Thank you, fellow Federationists. You made it happen.
We demand the right to full participation for ourselves, for those who are here, and for those who will come. We demand that this right be recognized, and we demand it now!
We have had, since we last got together on the presidential release, the Youth Slam here. The second Youth Slam brought about 175 students and about 80 people who were mentors for the students, teachers, and others. And all those folks got together on the campus at the University of Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. We had some of the events here at the National Center for the Blind, so we bused people from College Park, Maryland to Baltimore so that we could have some of the events that were teaching events here at the center. And also, while we were having all of those folks over here, we had a press conference in recognition of the filing of a complaint against the city school system in Baltimore because the school system does not teach blind students to read and write Braille and doesn't teach cane travel and other necessary blindness skills. That was a successful press conference. We've got several minutes of airtime on the television stations here in Baltimore, and we've had a number of articles reporting the urgent need for blind people to learn blindness skills and how it is that the National Federation of the Blind is working to ensure that the school districts provide the education that is required. The Youth Slam was close to Washington, D.C., as I say, and consequently we had a March for Independence for Blind Youth. It started at the Lincoln Memorial, it went down the mall in Washington, D.C., and it ended at the Visitor's Center right next to the Capitol. We walked by the Capitol and into the Capitol Visitor's Center, and we had the Congressional Auditorium to use for the final program of the Youth Slam. Steny Hoyer, who is the majority leader in the House of Representatives, came to make a speech. It was a very competent, inspiring, good speech. And he was inspired by us as well, which I must say is part of what we do, because the work that we do to encourage blind youth to understand things like science and technology and engineering, math, all that, is part of the Youth Slam, and it's an exciting time to get together with these young folks who are learning what they need to know to build wonderful careers. One of the things that we did in the Youth Slam this time was have a prototype of a vehicle that the blind can drive. We've been talking about this for some time. We challenged some universities to try to build it. Virginia Tech did build such a vehicle with our assistance and suggestions, and the prototype of the vehicle was on display during the Youth Slam, and one of the tracks of the Youth Slam was the blind driver track. So we had that vehicle being used during the Youth Slam, and we had an article that appeared on the front page of the Washington Post about the work that we're doing with blind youth and with Virginia Tech University to build such a vehicle. This is only the prototype. It isn't the one that will ultimately be used, but it's a good beginning. And the people who were participating in the Youth Slam got a chance to test it and also to make suggestions for changes that might be needing in the engineering of this particular vehicle. At the final session of the Youth Slam, we had NASA representatives come. We had Deputy Administrator for NASA, and we also had an astronaut, and we had the person who was in charge of education for NASA, and they brought to us the coins. These are the commemorative Louis Braille silver dollars that flew on the space shuttle when it went to do the Hubble restoration work. It was launched on May 11th, and in the next few days, it flew more than 5 million miles. They brought the coins back that had been in space. They had them mounted in a display, and we have the display at the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute in our Jacobus Tenbrook Library. So you can come and you can look at the display. Now, the display is covered with glass, and this is to prevent the coins from either deteriorating over time or disappearing. We also have some coins that are representative of the way they look under glass, and you can touch those. They were not the ones that flew in space, but they are exact replicas of the ones that flew in space. You can take a look at them when you're here at the National Center. The coins are important. The Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar with real readable Braille on it. It's the first coin struck by the Mint of the United States that has such Braille on it. It does honor Louis Braille, but it does more than that. It honors the value of blind people. It honors the reading and writing system that we use to gain knowledge. It honors our capacity to learn and to be a part of our society. And I urge you to get your coin and also to help distribute these coins. We are delighted with these coins because they represent the recognition by our government, by the people of our government, the Congress and the Mint and others, the Department of the Treasury, that blind people should be a part of our society and do have the capacity to learn the things that we need to learn in order to be productive. But also, if we sell all these coins, then we will have some money that is generated by the sale of the coins. It might be as much as $4 million if we can sell them all and if we can match the amount that is offered to us in accordance with the bill that was passed by Congress. Then we can get some money in to promote literacy programs that we want to have to ensure that blind people get the education that we need. This is important. And I urge you to be a part of it. I'm going to be meeting with the state presidents of our affiliates here shortly, and I'm going to talk with them about a program to get these coins distributed. We have until the end of 2009, and after that time, the coins that are not sold will be melted down. There will no longer be any available that are new. The ones that have already been purchased, of course, will still be there, but we have until the end of the year to get these distributed and sold, and I'm asking each of you to help with the sale of these coins. They are a delightful representation of the importance that we have in the world, and they also have the potential for generating some wealth for us to use in the programs to teach blind people throughout the nation. We have the Bell program. This is Braille Education for Literacy and Learning, and this program has been operated in Georgia. It was successful there. We are currently operating it in Baltimore. We have people in the program from age, maybe 3 or 4 to about 10 or 11, And we're teaching them Braille during the course of the summer. We're thinking about expanding the reach of this program to find yet more students in more states. If you have an interest in doing this, you can let me know, or you can tell Mark Riccobono, who is heading up this educational effort along with the education team here at our national headquarters. So let us know if you want to participate in one of these programs in the coming year, because it seems to be of tremendous importance to do, and furthermore, it is a very successful program. We're coming to the time when the summer will get to the end. I am going to our convention in the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina. We've had a convention in the National Federation of the Blind of Wyoming. This came after our national convention, and consequently, I know that the convention season, the fall period, when state conventions occur in many, many parts of the country, will be upon us soon. And I look forward to getting out there to meet with everybody that I can have a chance to come across who's a part of the Federation, our membership throughout the country. It's always part of the joy for me in being in the Federation to meet with people throughout the United States. So I'll be on the road here soon. As I say, I'm going to South Carolina this weekend. And as we get into the fall season, these things always happen. In other words, the Federation is its usual busy, bustling self, and it's good to have us have enough to challenge our imaginations in building the programs that we have. This brings me, of course, to the end of the presidential release, and I have some things in honor of the USLAM and science and engineering and technology. There has been a report that dihydrogen oxide has killed over 100,000 people around the world, mostly through inhalation. The story that tells us this also says that you cannot escape this chemical. Even if you wash your food, it won't do you any good. No matter what you do, you will be exposed to this chemical every day of your life until you die. Dihydrogen oxide is the chemical name for H2O, or water. Then we have some rules of the laboratory. If an experiment works, something has gone wrong. When you don't know what you're doing, do it neatly. Experiments must be reproducible. They should fail the same way each time.
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.